Reading from Sri Bhakti Sandarbha. Arti, anybody else coming?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Reading from Sri Bhakti Sandarbha. Anuchet 239. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We now turn to the topic begun in the previous Anuchet about how the Lord is captivated by devotion, and in particular, the act of associating with devotees as expressed in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 12, Text 1 and 2. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnanam Jnana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Shayam Rupakadamayam Vidati Sapadantikam Adadanasya Nandante Vidamya Che Puna Puna Srimadrupapadam Bhoja Dulisham Janma Janmani Vairagya Yug Bhakti Vasantayatnai Apayama Manadipsamandam Kutambhuriya Paradhupa Duki Sanatanastam Prabhamastayami Pancha Kalpa Turubhyasta Kripa Sindhu Bhaye Bhacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Vidadha Srivasade Ghor Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. That's your son. Greetings from Albany, New York. That's 30 minutes north of the Sun Falls, and I came up here this evening to be with the very nice devotees here, wonderful congregation of devotees, and I had first class South Indian prasad dinner. And then I had kirtan, and I just talked for about an hour. And they were also sitting here for the class. So it's good to have an audience before me, but the summary would also be Jiva Goswami and this wonderful, wonderful science of bhakti, Bhakti Sandarbha, based on the Bhagavatam, is going over progressively the practices of devotional service recommended in the Bhagavatam, Mighty Bhakti, to perform devotional service based on the scriptural injunction, the intelligence, what it's right to do. If you want to become purified and achieve the highest level, this is what you have to do. And it began with Sharanagati, taking shelter. Taking shelter of your relationship with Krishna as the repose of all your needs, wants, including to be happy and free from anxiety eternally. That shelter. To be happy and free from anxieties eternally. That shelter. That's your relationship with Krishna. And to take shelter in your relationship with Krishna is the entrance to bhakti. Then the next thing he discusses, but if you want a special flavor of devotion, you have to take shelter of a guru, in a particular guru, parampara, a bar, a line of teachers who give you a specific flavor. For example, you know, we're getting Radha and Krishna and Gaur-Nitai in this line. So, and he discusses the worship of the guru is even, you know, something, it takes precedence over worship of God, all these kind of statements. And then, so we start Sharanagati Guru Nishtha. Then within that, he said you should also serve other devotees. That's good. Not just guru, other devotees. And then we had a nice discussion, providing it's in harmony with your teacher, which means not in conflict, which means within the same sampradaya and with those who do not profess views that are against the siddhanta of that line, generally. And if the guru feels that it's in conflict, it's either two possibilities. Either he's envious of a bona fide Vaishnava, and then he should be rejected, or he sees that there is a difference in the conclusions. And therefore, you have faith in Guru, and you see some disharmony, you'll believe, well, there must be something different. And if you don't, or if it's against Shastra, anyway, these points were discussed, but it means in harmony, as long as it's the same family and it's professing the same conclusions, then yeah, we can serve other devotees. And then he went in that there's two types of service. One is prasanga, which means associating, which means hearing. Basically, it means hearing, basically. Another is paricharya. It means physical services. You cook, you do different things, whatever it is. Stand with the chava or whatever it is. So, and he gave this verse, and that's what these verses in the 12th chapter, 11th canto, which describe the glories of satsanga, satseva, serving the devotees, how powerful it is. And in fact, it's Krishna speaking to Uddhava, the paramaguhyam, the topmost secret, is that nothing can captivate the Lord as much as associating with devotees who deeply love him. There's nothing you can do to captivate the Supreme Lord as serving devotees who deeply love Krishna. There's nothing you can do. And he's going to even present in this particular chapter when he discusses, and I think we may get to it today, he's going to give so many examples of people who achieve perfection by doing nothing else but serving the devotees. And any wonder that Radhanath Swami served the Vaishnavas, served the Vaishnavas, served the Vaishnavas. It's Shastra. And then he clears up some misconceptions. And it's very, very fortunate to study this Bhakti Sandar, because you'll see what an Acharya does in terms of discriminatory philosophy. And how he resolves reconciles all contradictions and makes everything very, very clear. Jiva Goswami brings up so many wonderful points, but you see, nothing can compare to Sadhu Sangha. But he also makes the point, which is sometimes what people understand, other processes are not preempted by verses that discuss the singular superiority of other items. If it says the worship of my devotees exceeds the worship of me, it's not advised that you give up the worship of the Lord. And he also discussed, like this, because it says, not by fast, not by mantra, nothing except Sadhu Sangha can captivate me to this extent. He discussed how people actually gave up fasting on Ekadasi based on this. And then he presented, in Bhishma Dev's instruction to Yudhisthira, the Guru's statement as he went on pilgrimage, Maharaj Ambarish, which asked him, Mother Sachi's, the instruction of Lord Chaitanya to Mother Sachi went to increase following Ekadasi. It's not that the singular glorification of one item and its superior preempts the other items. This is Jiva Goswami. So now we're going to return. So now he's going to discuss this further. And he describes that there's two levels of captivation of Sadhu Sangha, which he calls primary and secondary. Primary is when the sadhu, whereas the Lord, there are two levels of control where the Lord willingly submits, primary and secondary. By primary, one attains love. By secondary, one attains liberation. Primary means when a devotee gives his heart to Krishna and you give your heart to that devotee. Secondary means when one worships Krishna. It doesn't necessarily give his heart to Krishna. And one can attain liberation. And associating with those devotees in that mood, you can attain liberation. So there's two levels of control. And what ultimately is going to be recommended is primary control. The sadhus who give their heart to Krishna and giving your heart to those sadhus. There's going to be nothing more powerful. And this has been discussed in regard, this has been discussed in regard to this verse. And it says, this is from the fifth canto, my dear king, Lord Mukunda sometimes awards liberation to those who worship him but not love him. So some people worship him, but they don't give themselves to him. So he's saying that's like secondary. And in other words, the Lord does not award love unless he's first brought under the control of the devotee who worships him with love. And by the secondary, one attains things such as liberation. And the primary is devotees like the gopis who give themselves to Krishna fully. They can attain love. And you can attain love by getting their association. And secondary, he gives the examples, observing people, for example, like Vanasura, a devotee who originally opposed Krishna, but then pleased Krishna later, worship became his eternal associate. And the secondary control impels the Lord to award what's desired by the worshiper, some, you know, liberation, etc. He says, now we will offer examples of this, of controlling or captivating Krishna by the association of devotees. And he's going to give examples of, it's a verse, it's I'll give you the number. If you follow this along with the 11th canto, it'll be very effective. But this is Srimad Bhagavatam 11, 12, 3 to 6. So in verses 3 and 4, it gives the categories of people who got liberated just by serving the Lord. And then in 5 and 4, that's 3 and 4. And 5 and 6 will give the names of those types of people. So it's very, very powerful. I mean, so I'm going to read, O Uddhava, simply by the association of saints, many different classes of beings attain my abode in different yugas, including these all classes, demons, yatidhanas, another class of demons, animals and birds, gandharvas and apsaras, nagas, siddhis, charanas, guyakas, and vidyaras. among the human beings, there are many Vaishyas, Sudras, women, and those born outside the caste system. Among those influenced predominantly by the qualities of passion and ignorance, there were those like Dhritarashtra, Prahlad, Vrishaparva, Bali, Bana, Maya, those are demons, Vibhishana, Sugriva, Hanuman, animals, Jambavan, bear, Gajendra, elephant, Jayatu, bird, Tuladhar, Dharmyavada, which was a Brahmin Rakshasa, a Brahmin ghost, Kubja, the gopis of Vraja, as well as the wives and the Brahmins and others. It's all the Sangha, like the wives of the Brahmins. How did they achieve perfection? That Nanda Maharaj was going to do the Govardhan Puja, so he wanted to consult some Brahmins. So the residents of Vrindavan went to that village. And the wives of the Brahmins, you know, the residents of Vrindavan, and also the residents of, what do they do? They sell milk, they sell flowers, etc. So the wives of the Brahmins would go to the gopis to buy flowers, what would they hear? Yatso mati nandana vraja bara nadara gokula lanjana kala shirara gala. Oh, they were just here. This is actually what it means to associate with a devotee. Why it gives you Krishna is to get Krishna means to turn your consciousness to Krishna, to become aware of Krishna. So devotee is one who is completely focused in love in Krishna. When you love someone, you're completely focused on them. And someone who comes in your proximity will also have to focus on the person you love. Just like if you come in contact with a Prabhupada disciple, or any disciple, but let's say a Prabhupada disciple, and he's Prabhupada, you have to focus on Prabhupada in their presence. If you're focused on someone who loves Guru and loves Krishna, when you're in Prabhupada's presence, your awareness was turned towards God because he was thinking of nothing else but Krishna. Krishna, 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 Krishna. Nothing else but Krishna. And therefore, to become successful, if you want your children to become Krishna conscious, if you want your mate to become Krishna conscious, if you want your disciples to become Krishna conscious, if you want whatever, if you want others to become Krishna conscious, you have my keys? Okay. If you want others to become Krishna conscious, then if you love Krishna and you're focused on Krishna, then in your presence, your children become Krishna conscious because that's what you're focused on. That's what satsanga, that's what sadhu sangha means. So all these people, whether they're animals or demons, etc., when they were in the presence of a powerful sadhu, their awareness was turned towards God. And it's going to be discussed. Two things happen in the presence of a sadhu. One, his awareness is turned towards God, and therefore you take up the practices of Krishna consciousness. Or you take up the practice of associating with the sadhu. And serving him, and your consciousness becomes turned towards Krishna. So in this series of verses, the word daitya literally means the descendants of Diti, indirectly applies various classes of demons, such as asuras and dhanavas. So there's various shades of demons. This is actually demonology. There's shades of demons. The word Yatidhana refers to rakshasas or evil demons. A brief list of those belonging to these classes appear in the third verse of the group. So it mentions the Daityas, and then briefly a list of those people, and it begins with Kastra, which refers to Vritrasura. And Vritrasura, in his previous life, he was King Chitraketu, and he was blessed with the association of Narada Muni and Angira, as well as Lord Sankarsana. So Vritrasura was a demon, but actually in the Bhagavatam, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says the highest verses of devotion outside of the 10th canto is the verses of Vritrasura. Narayana Prasade Vritkutas Chanya Bibhyati Swagatavada Narakeshu Apitu Yashin Darshana. One who is Narayana Prayana loves Narayana. Apituya Siddharshana. Swagapavagi. He doesn't care if he's in heavenly planets, hellish planets, earth, where there's service. He goes. These verses of Vritrasura, they're like amazing. I mean, that's an example. And the word Kayadhanava refers to the son of Kayadu. So another example of demon is Prahlad, who obtained the association of Narada Muni while in his... He got the association of Narada while he's in his mother's womb. So his mother was at the ashram of Narada Muni, and Narada Muni is like, Narada Muni. Narada, just... So Prahlad, son of a demon, son of the biggest demon, becomes the greatest devotee just by that association. So one time I was walking on... right on the park on Fifth Avenue, right in the front there. And I was just walking, and a guy came up to me, a Christian, and said, "You want to know who your Krishna is? He's a demon." Then he quoted the Bhagavad Gita. He said, "Of demons I am, Prahlad." So, anyway, The word Adi and so on refers to specific individuals named in the final one and a half verses and other people. For example, this Vrishaparva. So Vrishaparva was a Danava. It's a particular class of demons. In one of the Puranas, it's related, he was abandoned by his mother immediately after his birth, and he's brought up by a sage. And being brought up by a sage, he becomes a great devotee. And then the other example is Bali. He obtained the association of Prahlad and Lord Vamana, and Bhakti manifests. So Bali also is a demon. Banasura got the association of Bali, Shiva, and Lord Krishna. And his 1,000 arms were chopped off by Krishna. He realized the greatness of Vishnu. He attained the great devotee Shiva. So it's listing all these. Maya is another Danava, and he's the one that built the assembly house for the Panavas. And he was a demon. He built the assembly house. He attained the association of Lord Krishna. And he ultimately attained Krishna. Vibhishan belonged to the Rakshasas, the Yatadanas. And he got the association of Hanuman and Ram, and there's that famous verse in Ram, when Bibhishan comes for shelter, and they're saying this is the brother of Ram. And what does Ram say? "I've taken a vow that anyone who comes for shelter, I will protect." So Bibhishan, he gets the association. The list of names given in the first line of the first verse, that's Sugriva and Gaja, are animals. So Rikshiraj refers to what? Gorilla, ape. Jambavan is what? Bear. Gaja refers to the elephant. It is inferred that he got the association of the saints in his past life, and at the end of his next life as Gajendra, he attained the association of the Lord. Gita refers to the bird Jatayu, who got the association of Guda and Dasarath. And so Sita, so this Sangha, those people that are dedicated fully to the Lord, focusing on the Lord in love. In other words, when you come in their contact, you look where they're looking, because they're looking in such an intent way at the Lord. So you come in their association, you have to look at the Lord. And that's what purification means, turning your awareness to God. So then it mentioned Gandharvas, the gatherers. I hope this is not too tedious for the people on the phone. I'm just going through the text. They're not so well known. I guess they don't give specific examples. And the fourth verse then mentions those belonging to different classifications of human beings. The neat part refers to a Vaishya merchant, and there's some story. I wish I knew these stories. This is a story in the Mahabharata that was described, but I don't know the stories. Now this is interesting. There's Vyadha refers to Dharma Vyadha. Dharma Vyadha means literally the destroyer of religion. And And in the past Kali Yuga, there was a king, his name was Vasu, and he killed a Brahmin. He mistaked the Brahmin for a deer. So the Brahmin, when he killed him, became a Brahmin Rakshasa, or a malignant ghost of a Brahmin. And when it came time for the king to ascend, the king was actually a Vaishnava, to Vaikuntha, within the material world, this Brahma Rakshasa who he killed entered his body. And when that period of celestial enjoyment came to the end, the king returned to the earthly sphere and he became a king again. At that time, you know, he was getting some disturbance. You know, when you're haunted by a ghost, it's a mental disturbance. So he's getting this mental disturbance and he went to an exorcist. And to get the spirit from his body, who gave him a prayer called Brahman Parakyastava. And then by the power of this prayer, the Brahman Raksha came out of his body. And when he came out of his body, the king said, well, he came from me, I'll name him. And he named him Dharma Vyada, the destroyer of religion. But because he had the association as a Brahman Rakshasa of the Vaishnav king, when he became completely nonviolent, at the end of his life he saw Jagannath and prayed to him, and he was Jagannath embraced him, and he attained liberation. He merged into Lord Jagannath's body, some kind of liberation. So it's all this sangha, this association. It's so powerful. Kubja attained the association of Lord Krishna, because in a past life, I don't know the story, I meant to review this or find it out, some of the, well, in previous life, she got the association of Narada Muni, that's described in the Mathura Harivamsa. And the word Gopya in the last line refers not to the eternal gopis, in whom love is eternally manifest, but these are ones from marriage who came to Braj when Krishna was born. They came from Gujarat. They came from Gujarat to Vrindavan to get married, and they got the association of the Nityasiddha gopis through marriage. They came to Braj. And they came in association, and they obtained the association, and then the wives of the Brahmins, and then, you know, they just by association. So all these types, so it says in the verse that follows, so these four verses, that Lord Krishna declares that these individuals or groups did not undergo any form of spiritual discipline except the association of saints. In other words, Sadhu Sangha is so powerful we don't need any other discipline. Because the association changes one's mind. An association depends on three factors. It depends on how powerful the sadhu is. It depends on his mercy and relationship with you. And it depends on your receptivity. It's such a nice concept, the person focusing so intensely on God. You come on in his association. I remember going into Prabhupada's room, but everything was so intensely for Krishna's service. Everything had the spiritual world means what? Everything is focused on Krishna. So powerful devotee, everything in his presence is focused on Krishna. You went into Prabhupada's room, everything was intensely in Krishna's service. It was a very powerful experience, going into Prabhupada's room. So intensely, it's there. So verse 7, although they did not study the Vedas, worship great devotees, observe vows, or undertake penance, they attain me through association with me or my devotees. By sat, seva, sat, sangha. They didn't study the Vedas, and the verse stated they did not study the anthology, that means even the bhakti shastras. They didn't study that bhakti. They didn't render service to, they did not observe vows, and it understood that the various disciplines mentioned in this verse are meant exclusively to the satisfaction of the Lord. They just serve devotees intensely. Now, I'm going to finish up for today and then ask for questions. I'm going pretty quick, but I'm going to read a couple more paragraphs, and there's just a few points that Sri Jiva mentions. It says, Dhritarashtra and a few others did actually perform other practices in their previous lives. It says they never performed any practice, but he says, well, how can this be? Because if you study Dhritarashtra in his previous life, he performed other practices. But he said, nonetheless, even those practices were the result of satsang. So even the practices. With this view, it is stated here that the results achieved by him were simply due to satsang. They're simply by satsang. Because even the practices, they came from satsang. And I think that our movement is based on Prabhupada's association, honestly. It's his example, his dedication, his focus, his instruction, satsanga. Dharmavyada and others like him, I would say, became the association exclusively through satsanga. So others like this Dharmavyada, that was it. He just was a Brahmarakshya. He possessed this king, but the king was so focused on God that he was just, you know, he just couldn't help but become aware of God. And that's what all spiritual practices do. They make, so anyway, this is bhakti, and it's beginning the processes. So you see, first Sharanagata, Guru Nishtha, now Sadhusanga. Then comes Shravana, hearing. It's really interesting. It's going to discuss very interesting things. It's going to discuss the association of saints is effective in yielding its fruit, even when an individual is without proper awareness. An individual doesn't even know. You know, an object which has potency is not dependent on its surroundings, like a virus. You know, of course, if you go back to a previous anuchet, it says, everyone will become affected by the influence of a real sadhu, except one person. One who has a little knowledge and is proud. Everyone else. If you have a little knowledge and you're proud, then that's it. And then, interesting, this is like the kind of being with a sadhu and associating means hearing a sadhu. Then it's also going to explain when you do service. And that's also going to be very, very powerful. It is a nice verse. by rendering service to the devotees, one becomes immersed in a festival of spontaneous love for the lotus feet of Lord, which destroys the material existence. Anyway, we discussed this. Now, some technical points. Vitrasan, if you are, okay. The word satsang in the verse means my association as well as the association of devotees, because both interpretations connote the relationship with the Lord. So when it says matsanga, it means either there's some people that are so fortunate they get the association of the Supreme Lord directly. That obviously turns their awareness towards God. But it's going to describe that even in those cases, people who have got the direct association, look, it has to come through a devotee. It has to come through a devotee, practically. You may have some awareness. The whole idea is to give God. The devotee is the transparent medium. It doesn't stop with him. The idea is he's the way to focus the attention on God. The purpose is focusing the attention on God. But this is the person who's pointing in that direction. The Lord is also sought, the real or the wise, and therefore when there is discussion of the association of the wise, it also includes the association of the... When you say satsanga, it's satseva, it also refers. Previously it was explained that one obtains the mercy of the Lord only by the association of devotees. What this means is that the association of devotees is essential to facilitate the initial shift in a person's focus towards an awareness of God. That we mean. It means you can't, you know, when it says you attain the mercy of the Lord only by the association of the Lord, it means the association of devotee is essential to facilitate the initial shift towards an awareness of God. It has to come from someone who has that faith and that inspiration. Or, if you're spontaneously attracted to God, it comes from a previous life. But somewhere or other, that's the thing that does it. Inspires the initial shift in the consciousness. Even if it is acknowledged, oh, it says here, just a few more points, a little technical. In this section, however, the very same association of the devotees is being described as a specific means to attain perfection, and there's no the discrepancies. In other words, the idea is to shift towards God. So when it says the association of the devotees to attain perfection, it means they give you the inclination towards Krishna, but you can also serve them. Now, one more paragraph for today. Even if it is acknowledged that association of the Lord may sometimes even be the cause of a person shifting awareness towards him, such an occurrence is to be understood in this way. When the Lord descends and occasionally distributes his mercy everywhere, he does only due to his relationship with devotees. So even when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, what's the cause of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu coming? It's the prayers of the Advaita. So either way, it always comes down to the mercy and focus of the devotees. This is the significance of the word sat. Those who sangha causes the Lord to appear. Therefore, there's no defect in the principle stated above, that one obtains the mercy only by the association. So even when someone gets directly the association of God, as in Gaur Lila, it's a Advaita Acharya whose prayers. So just, even if we say that Krishna directly gives his mercy, it's not wrong, because it is the sangha of the devotees who call. You can get the mercy of God directly, there's no doubt. But somewhere along there, either this life or the past life, you were bahya mukha, you turned your face toward from God. What is that? There's a famous verse, Atasri Krishna Namadi. The Bhagavad Gayanindra, Sevan Mukhe, he Jivadal. Sevan Mukhe, the face is turned towards service. this is you with the tongue. The face is turned towards service, completely direct. So that comes this life, last life. If it's this life, if, you know, someone may be spontaneous, somewhere that initial shift is the association. You are in the association of a person who is intensely worshiping God. And the love was flowing from his heart. That's why in the Bhagavatam, where there's this progression of verses of how one advances by hearing, and it comes to the conclusion that one should always chant, hear, worship, and remember the Supreme Lord. When it comes to that point, people become discouraged. How can I possibly do this all the time? The next verse is Shushu Shro Shradhanasya Vasudeva Kapasya Mahatsevana Vipa Punya. That by serving the devotees, Vasudeva Kapava Chu, you get bhakti. Why? Because when you serve the devotees and you're in the proximity of devotees, you begin to look at them. I mean, you look at them, you look at their consciousness, you look at their awareness, you look at their focus, their direction, and they're always glorifying God. And therefore, you get a taste for that activity in their association. Now, you know, I covered 3 pages today, and generally I can't even cover 1 paragraph, and that's how much I prepared today. So rather than go on, I'm going to see if there's any questions now. Are there any questions?
Maharaj, I have a question.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. This is David Devadasi.
This is David Deva?
Yes.
I recognize your voice immediately.
It's that bad, I know. My question is...
It's that good. Anyway.
My question is, in the beginning when you were... I mean, throughout, you've been talking about the importance of service to the devotees and to the advanced devotees. And
yeah.
My question is, as we know in Nectar of Instruction, Srila Bhupa Goswami and Srila Prabhupada talk about how to associate with different devotees.
Yeah.
And so what does one do if one is put in the very awkward and uncomfortable situation of being served by a much more advanced devotee or a senior devotee whose service mood is so wonderful, but it's a rather awkward and uncomfortable position. I'm just trying to understand what the consciousness of someone who is put in this awkward position, like what?
Well, one thing that happens is first of all, one immediately becomes humbled, because if you feel it's awkward, then you're feeling, the question is, what if you're put in the situation where, because I have an audience here today, where someone more advanced is serving you. So then what happens is, first of all, we shy away from that type of service, but at the same time, there's one of the benefits of it. The benefits of it is we become very, very humble. And they're serving you, even though you feel you're, you know, less advanced. It shows the degree of humility and devotion in that person's heart. So what does that do? Well, that should be an inspiration for you to become a servant of Krishna, because it makes you humble and you actually see the glories of humility. And, you know, then what you should try to do is, obviously you should try every way you can to serve such a devotee. You know, and you know, there are ways. Sometimes people don't accept personal service because they're very, very humble, but you could serve their mission. You could, because people like that, they have so much service to do for their guru. People who are so humble have so much service to do for their guru. So even if they won't let you serve them, you can do some of that service. You know, or see how you can assist them in ways. And so, yeah, that's what you do. Although generally, we don't try to accept personal service from a superior. You know, we try to serve them. But, you know, if the situation arises, that's what I would say.
Okay.
Does that sound okay, David Deva?
Yes, thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you. Are there any other questions?
Another question, Maharaj?
Yes, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, obeisances.
Who is this? What's your name?
This is Jagadish Chaitanya Das from Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Okay, Hare Krishna, Jagadish. Yes, please.
Hare Krishna. I was like, somewhat related, you mentioned at the beginning, you're talking about Vaidhi Bhakti, and
yeah.
I'd heard from someone, they were saying something like, sadhana bhakti is like technically a form of like raganuga bhakti, and it's technically somewhat referring to something different from Vaidhi Bhakti, so I was wondering if you could...
Yeah, okay, there's two things. There's Vaidhi Bhakti, there's raganuga bhakti. They're both sadhana bhakti, devotional service and practice. But the difference is the impetus for service is different. In Vaidhi Bhakti, the impetus for service is not one's natural attachment, but one's understanding of the scripture and the order of the guru. In Raganuga Bhakti, the impetus for one's service is one's attachment, your liking for it. And it's not guided. In other words, the impetus doesn't come because this is scriptural injunction, this is order. It's because I have a natural attraction for it. That's the main impetus. But the understanding is that in our practice of Vaidhi Bhakti, in our line, it should be mixed with attachment. We should hear about Krishna and we should become attracted to serving the deities of Krishna, and we should somehow try to mix our attachment in and develop some type of spiritual aspiration. If not for our eternal relationship with Krishna, which may not be manifest to us, but at least for Vrindavan, at least for Navadvipa Mayapur, for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for Radha Krishna, for Gaura Nidhi. And we should try, Prabhupada said, we should try to become spontaneous. Not artificially. But it's kind of like this. When you go to Mangalarti, as Vaidhi, we have to go. But we shouldn't just go to go. We shouldn't go because, you know, in other words, it's mentioned later that we shouldn't feel that the potency and benefit coming to this spiritual activity is the rule that I do it. Because if that's there, your consciousness won't be there in the activity. So in our line, we go to Mangalarti, and it's not just so that it's checked off that we're there, but we try to absorb our consciousness. And, you know, there are ways that we can do it. I mean, one, a little bit more advanced could even think, my God, you know, I'm in Vrindavan, it's Mangalarti, and this is exactly what's happening right now in Radha and Krishna. Radha and Krishna are waking up, and their assistants are serving them. And what are they doing? They're doing Mangalarti. And this is what's happening in the spiritual world. This is what my gurus in my line, perfected line, what they're doing in their eternal spiritual position. And I would like to do this. So in some way or other, we should try to become absorbed. It's not that we yet have that feeling and no eternal relationship with Krishna, but at least you put the aspiration. There is some absorption in some way. And then when you do Vaidhi Bhakti in that way, trying to absorb ourselves and becoming attracted to the activity, at the same time understanding that I'm not on the level of spontaneous devotion, so I have to rigidly follow the rules and regulations as given by the acharyas. But Jiva Goswami says, take that Vaidhi and mix in Raganuga. Mix in the attraction. By reading and chanting and hearing and understanding what the goal is. And he said that type of Vaidhi Bhakti we can call Ajata Ruchi Raganuga Bhakti. It's Raganuga Bhakti because our goal is not Vaikuntha, our goal is Vrindavan before we have Ruchi. Okay?
Yeah, so that's what sadhana bhakti refers to. And
sadhana bhakti refers to devotional service and practice, and it has two divisions, Vaidhi and Raghunuti.
Oh. Okay.
Okay.
Could you repeat that last phrase that you called it when it's mixed?
I was reading the Bhakti Sandarbha, and Jiva, and Jiva Goswami says, he said there's something called Ajata Ruchi Raghunuga Bhakti.
Ajata
means not born.
Uh-huh.
Ajata Ruchi. Your Ruchi is not born.
Right.
Ajata Ruchi. Your Ruchi is not born, but Raghunuga Bhakti. But why is it Raghunuga Bhakti? Well, it's not that you're at the level of meditating at a very high level like that. But he said, but in our lives, our aspiration is Vrindavan. We have an interest in that.
Right.
And we can mix that interest in.
Right.
And, you know, but not that it oversees that we have to be, you know, follow a regulation. But he said we try to mix that in. And he gave an example.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, we have the Gopal Gayatri Mantra. Right? So he says that, if, you know, we know that what that mantra is given, that mantra is given to bring us to Vrindavan, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he said, when you chant that mantra, try to think of Krishna blowing his flute. Try to think of Krishna with the cows, right?
Mm-hmm.
And even you can think that, yes, you know, Prabhupada is there, you know, somewhere. I want that. So he said that we should make a conscious effort to try to make our activities more spontaneous. Not that we're just following rules, right? Now,
yeah.
16 rounds, now I'm successful, the last beat has come down. I've understood that you, maybe I think you went, because I spoke to Giriraj, you went to this Japa retreat.
Yeah, I did.
So you can see that was the mood, right?
Yeah.
How to become absorbed, right? How to... So that's not just Vaidhi Bhakti, that's not just chanting because it's the rules and things, which we do it. But it's chanting because we should try to somehow find a way to put our heart into it.
Right.
Did that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you. Oh, great. Only nice questions. Any other questions?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. This is Vrindavan Das.
Vrindavan Das.
Yes.
There's
a basin fist here.
From California.
Yes, sir.
Oh, great. Nice that you're on. Thank you. All right, do you have a question?
Yes, I do. Regarding when you were talking about the guru and understanding, this is in the beginning of the class, association with individuals that I guess basically you can boil it down to being like-minded.
Yeah, okay.
I've kind of run into a lot individuals that are very, very high in their practice.
Yeah.
But walk around with either a lot of animosity towards others, say, not within their group, or just very antagonistic. And,
right.
It's hard to reconcile that.
Isn't it high in practice but antagonistic to others?
Yeah.
It's kind of a thing that is hard to reconcile. But, you know, wow, this is a deep point, but, you know, sometimes it's just when you're in an institution and the institution is important because it's a vehicle to spreading Krishna consciousness, it's very, very difficult. You have to be very, very careful, I would say, to not let that compromise the principles on which the institution were based. Because there's a natural tendency of an institution for self-preservation.
Mm-hmm.
But in the process of that self-preservation, which is probably one of the duties of the people who are disciples of the guru that started the institution, you have to be very, very vigilant to not let that compromise the principles on which the institution is based. So in terms of reconciling it, all I would say is if you have the service, right, to maintain an institution on the behalf of your guru, just like any other service, there are challenges within it. And the challenge of an institution is how to do it in a way that it doesn't compromise one's integrity. So I guess the reconciliation is glorious to the people who take up that service, because it's a great sacrifice and challenge. But you have to be very, very careful, you know, that not to let that principle become more important than the principles in which the institution is promoting, which is Vaishnavism and service to others.
Well,
you know, even if they don't have the particular designation or sign or label that you have. And I think those who are advanced devotees are very much cognizant of that, and try very, very carefully not to let the principle of self-preservation, which they feel dedicated to, compromise their respect for others. Okay?
Yes. The next point off of that,
yeah.
I've had debates with certain individuals about, that where do you draw the line between principles and details? Because nobody can agree on what the principles are versus what the details are.
Yeah.
Harmony.
You know what Prabhupada said? How do you define which is principles and which is details? Prabhupada once told Bhurijan, it takes intelligence. And there's nothing else I can say about that.
Okay.
But, you know, Saragrahi Vaishnavas, they know the essence. You know? And those who are advanced, they try to respect all. What to speak of other human beings, animals, ants, you know. They try to respect everyone. I mean, Lord Chaitanya said, what? Wear it around the neck. Trinadati, Sunni, Chainat. What ought to be once you chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, more tolerant, devoid of all sense of false prestige, ready to offer all respects to others. It didn't say that belong in a particular, you know, institution or what. You know, which doesn't mean that, you know, people don't have some dedication and loyalty to their guru's institution and how to utilize it, etc. That's part of it. But it doesn't compromise giving respect to others. Anyway, thank you, Vrindavan, very much. Nice to hear from you. And hopefully I'll see you. Maybe I'm thinking either June or August I'll have to come up to the West Coast. I'll give you a call before then.
Thank you.
Anybody else like to ask a question? Okay. Yeah, who's that? Go ahead.
Well, this is
who is
Gail.
This?
Who? Gail.
Gail. Hare Krishna, Gail.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't fully grasp the secondary type of relationship.
Secondary means Gail, it's so nice to have you in the class.
Thank you.
No, I'm serious. These are such good questions. As far as I know, this is going to actually come up. It means Kevala Bhakti, it means when you give yourself totally to God. And then he gives himself to you, and he gives you praying, and he gives you love. But there are others who actually worship God, and they have some mixture of a desire for liberation, or this, you know, this five types of liberation, etc. And God also responds. They also captivate God by that worship. But it's not pure devotion. Okay?
Yes.
Okay. Did that answer it, Gail?
Yes, when you said, you know, when you brought in the five types of liberation. Then
yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, because there's people who worship in other ways.
In the beginning, I was couldn't understand how, you know, a person worshiping yet is not giving himself totally.
Right, right. So, yeah, there's some desire to be, some desire for yourself, you know, which is, it's the five types of liberation, you know, to be on the same planet, to be an associate with the Lord, to have the same features. It's actually a service to God to have the same features as Him. Why? Because whenever a person walks in an entourage, he wants to be surrounded by beautiful people, right?
Mm.
You know? So these people, they have that desire to have the same form of the Lord, but it's also a servant. It's not that, you know, God is walking in Vaikuntha and it's a bunch of motley people hanging around him, you know. They're like very beautiful people. It's kind of like some kind of service. But yeah, I'm going to really have to study that carefully because, you know, sometimes even in the scriptures, Gail, when I read and I study, it's not exactly clear. Because it's actually talking about sadhu sangha. So I assume it means that you can associate with those sadhus who have a primary captivation of the Lord, which means it's going to be the next verse. It's going to say the next verse demonstrates that primary control. And it says, indeed, the damsels, the cowherd damsels, cows, trees, animals, and snakes, and other beings of undeveloped consciousness realize the object of their lives and easily attain me through love. And then that's the next class. It's going to describe what that means. These are all people in Braj. The snakes mean Kaliya. These all attain Krishna. Snakes means Kaliya. The cows, they attain Krishna, and they attain love for Krishna by giving themselves fully to Krishna. Okay. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna today? Anybody like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Who's that?
This is Gordon.
Gordon, Hare Bol.
Hare Bol.
Okay, you're going to call me again, I think, on Friday. We'll continue our conversation, right?
Yes, sir.
Very nice. Thank you for coming on, Gordon. Hare Krishna. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna.
Who's that? Shastra? Is that Shastra?
Yes.
Shastra, did I tell you I got a copy of my book?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I got one. Beautiful. And I got a letter today that he promises that they'll be shipped here by May 30th.
What?
That the final printing will be on the 16th of this month, and he says we should get them in 40 days. If you believe that, you know.
That's exciting.
What?
That's exciting.
Yeah, okay. And then we'll make a list of people we'll distribute some of them to, right?
Yes.
A couple of hundred. Okay, thank you, Shastra.
Bye.
Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj, this is Bharati.
Bharati, Hare Krishna. I got your letter, and I will answer it soon. Thank you. Hare Krishna, anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? Okay, then I will drive back to my place tonight. And I'll meet you again Sunday from here, because the weekend I have one very nice college program, which I'm doing on psychology of karma, and then one nice program at a yoga group with Gopi Manjari, who used to be up in Saratoga Springs. She's holding a one-week seminar, and I'm going to give the philosophy class at the end. So I'll see you all on Sunday. Hare Krishna. Panchakalpa, Purugya, Shakrapa, Sindhu, Vedasya, Patikana, Papa.